Darren Munn is in with us this morning from Munn Wealth Management, making his monthly sojourn with us to help us navigate those rocky shoals of finance. And things have changed immensely in the time that you were here last month.
I barely even remember it.
You're last month and I'm like, oh, things are fine.
The world is completely different.
And all of a sudden, boom.
Yes.
Which is a good reminder, you know, why we put our faith in the Lord and not in worldly systems, because they can easily, when God wants to shake the world is shaken.
You know, we realize how quickly we are not in control, right? And how quickly there are so many things outside of our control. It is humbling. It's amazing how quickly we can be humbled.
So obviously a lot of uncertainty right now because of the coronavirus. It's obviously having a big impact on the economy. Many people are finding themselves in a position where their business is closed or their hours are being drastically cut. What advice can you give to folks as we're moving forward in this and given the kind of uncertainty? I mean, even my wife's boss was saying, hey, you know, we may have to cut hours and stuff. What should people be doing ahead of that right now?
Yeah, you know, it's a great time to obviously look at where you are financially. You know, I mean, that's where, you know, I think most of us, you know, we think, okay, how am I going to survive? You know, for some people, it means they're going to have to survive a couple weeks without a paycheck. Now, the good news is I think the government's going to step up. You know, they're already making provision so that those that are affected, you know, either out of work or in some other way, you know, they're going to make provision. You know, they're really going to step up in a way certainly that we haven't seen since the recession in 2008-2009. But, you know, my guess is they're going to step up even more so because of how swiftly this came on, because of, you know, how so much of the impact is by government order, right? You know, so, you know, restaurants aren't necessarily wanting to shut down voluntarily, but, you know, when you're forced to, you know, even though they may be able to stay open and do takeout, you know, you can only have so many people to work and do that, right?
Yeah,
and so
wait staff is not
exactly know. And so there's definitely a lot of people impacted, so it's really looking at, you know, what expenses do you have that you can cut out. You know, it's kind of a hard to look at it after the fact. If you weren't prepared coming in, it's hard to get prepared at this point, you know, which goes back to, you know, what we've talked about over the years, is it's important to be prepared for these types of things, because once they happen, you can't go back and prepare. And so, you know, it's a great reminder of how, as we come out of this, it's important to, you know, fix your financial situation, get out of debt, and prepare for the next time, because there will be a next time. You know, there will be another recession. You know, this is a recession, and I would say we are absolutely in a recession right now. Yeah. Even though there are some people that are still saying, oh, I don't think we're going to have a recession. Come on, we are in a, you know, like, there's absolutely no question about it. We are in a recession. Now, it won't be declared, you know, until probably near the end of the year. They will finally declare we are in recession. Believe me, it'll be about 6 months before they actually declare it, but we are in recession. And so that's the reality of the situation. You know, the question is, you know, how deep of a recession do we have? And, you know, how quickly do we recover? My best guess is that, you know, we're not going to see a recession quite as deep as 2008-2009. But, you know, I think, you know, we are seeing, at least for a couple weeks here, you know, because really for the next 2 to 4 weeks, a lot of our country is shut down, right?
Yeah,
so it's going to be a hugely significant, in fact, may even mirror, you know, 2008-2009, an extreme short term of, you know, hey, we had a really brief fall off in economic activity. There will be a substantial bounce off of that, you know, call it, you know, the picture of V, you know, for, let's say, half or three quarters of that drop, you know, from economic activity. And then the rest of it, you know, as the economy kind of gets back into the swing of things, you'll see the rest of it come back over the next 6 to 12 months. And so, you know, the reality is, to get back to where we were pre-coronavirus, we're looking at least a year, possibly even further from an economic standpoint.
Well, and I think that's the point. You can drop a lot faster than you can recover.
Right.
Because if a business goes out of business, it takes time to start a new business, to re-employ people. You know, you can go out of business overnight. You can't start a business overnight.
Right, right.
And so we've got to face that reality.
What we're seeing is the pace of how things move is dramatic, you know, both on the downside and the upside, you know, because of how our economy and society has evolved. And part of it is, it's not that the coronavirus is going to go away either, right?
You know, yeah.
You know, we are going to be dealing with this for, you know, easily the next 4 to 6 months at a fairly heightened level. Now, I don't think the plan is to have restrictions over that period of time. I mean, and for those that, you know, haven't been able to follow it as much, what the government's trying to do is just make sure the medical system isn't overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be overwhelmed. That's a given. In fact, in some cases, they already are. You know, I guess the good news, if there is one, is hopefully we are nearing the end of the flu season. So,
yeah.
You know, the reality is that a lot of the ICU beds and things, you know, for the people that would be impacted, impacted by that. In many cases, they're going to be the same people. And so we have to recognize this coronavirus thing isn't going to go away overnight, but probably the most severe economic damage is really just going to be the next 2 to 4 weeks. And we'll likely see things start to recover after that.
And I think people to understand one of the reasons for some of what may seem like the more extreme measures is the quicker they can get this under control, where, you know, initially you see that spike in infections, but once that starts to drop off, like we're seeing in China and South Korea, the faster they get that under control, the faster the economy can get back to a more normal setting. So I think part of it is let's get this under control as quick as we can so we can get back to more normal economic activity as quick as we can.
Right. Absolutely. It's also a race against the clock, too, because, you know, they've got vaccines in process. They started human testing on at least one vaccine. Been reading some articles that there are some treatments that they're finding to be effective. And so, you know, I think there is good news that will be coming out in the coming weeks regarding treatment that will especially help in recovery. Prevention side, you might take a little bit longer because I don't know how long they'll want to test these. You know, normally they'll test them for a longer time, but I believe they'll make exceptions this time and get these things to market a little bit faster, which creates an element of risk. But the reality is medical technology is developed these days where they probably have a pretty good idea of what's going to be effective and what's not.
Yeah. I know one variable, and this is something people can be praying about, is, you know, a lot of the flu viruses don't react well to warmer weather. That's why you have the flu season in the winter.
Right.
Now, we don't know what COVID-19 is going to do in regard to warmer weather, how that's going to affect it. But, you know, one thing we can be praying for is it doesn't like warm weather. And as we get warmer, that might help things along. So pray that it is a winter virus, not summer virus.
Right. Yeah. And that's really the expectation. And we really haven't seen it take off in a lot of warmer climates. That is the hope that with warmer weather, like the flu, it will die off. Kind of buy us some time because it's not that it's going to go away. It'll still bounce around and you will have to, you know, be vigilant come the fall when temperatures start to drop. But by that time, we'll likely have vaccines or other treatments. And, you know, everybody who gets it now is going to basically be, you know, immune next time around. And so what we need is that pool of people that have built the immunities and the antibodies up for this, you know, to grow. And that will slow the spread ultimately and ultimately allow us to get a handle on it.
So obviously, if you are prepared, you know, you had your emergency fund in place and things like that, you're in good shape. Let's say that maybe that's not the case. Maybe you've been depleted. But I'll be honest with you, last year we had a terrible economic year. We had stuff hitting us every month, and it just wiped out our reserves.
Yeah.
So we haven't had time to build those up. So we're kind of on the edge. We're like a lot of people kind of on the edge because we haven't had time to recover from that last year. So if someone's in that position, you know, what are just some common sense things we can do? We don't want to panic, right? We've got to trust that God's going to take care of us and watch over us. But at the same time, being wise stewards, what are some common sense things, maybe places where maybe people don't think about that maybe we could cut our expenses and help us in at that time?
Yeah, there are some natural things that are already happening that will help. I mean, one, take a look at gas prices.
That's been nice.
So that's great. And you can fill up tanks less. You know, your heating bills will be a little bit less for the next month, you know, that you actually have your heat on. Most of us would be eating out less, you know, so we'll save some money there. And it might mean postponing a vacation or you know, postponing some other expenses. It might be home repairs or things like that, you know, are a necessity, but maybe we just, you know, push them down the road a few months, you know. So it's really looking at, you know, what can we not do or what can we defer and push it down the road a little bit. I think the other thing that a lot of times it's some of the toughest things for us to do, especially as Christians, probably Christians and non-Christians alike, is we all have an element of pride and to even ask for help. I think, you know, God has put people, especially in the body of Christ, that have the ability and the desire to help. And God's given them that as a gift. If those that are in need don't let their needs be known or don't ask for help, then those people can't exercise their gift. And so I would encourage people, if there's needs, whether it's, you know, yourself or if you know of somebody that has needs, don't be afraid to ask. You want to make sure that you personally are taking all the steps you need to do to be a good steward of what you have. But when the needs fall beyond that level, it's important to ask and let God provide. God's talked about this over and over in his word. Hey, trust in him. He will provide. But, you know, you've heard the story of the person caught in the flood and the first person came by in a boat and say, hey, you want to ride out of here? They're like, oh, no, God's going to save me. And, you know, that happens a couple more times as he moves up to the roof of the house. And, you know, he turns down these rides every time and then he ultimately drowns and goes to heaven. He's like, God, why didn't you save me? He's like, I sent three people to come by to save you. But that's, God puts people in our lives to help provide. And this is a great opportunity for us to rise up as a church, as a body of Christ, to help those, to share. Go back and read, I think it's Acts chapter 5 and 6, is right in there, where it talks about how the early church shared everything they had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of body we need to be right now, is be sharing what we have. If you have extra, share with those who need. And so this is a great reminder. We saw this happen after 9/11. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of us remember 9/11 very clearly. It shut down our economy for the better part of a week or two, right? This will be a little bit longer, but you know, the reality is, you know, that's the kind of reaction we want to have, where we come together, and instead of being, you know, divisive and, you know, mean to each other, let's come together as a family and as a body and really take care of those who are part of the body. But I mean, this is a great opportunity for us to share Christ with those, you know, outside of the body, and really express the love that God has for them.
Yeah, it's given us a great opportunity to show love for our neighbor.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when we can
absolutely
see it as that.
Definitely.
Not the time to be checking your 401k, though.
No, it's probably a good idea not to look at it. Our emotions cause us to do things that harm us in the long term. And so, you know, I would say it's not a time to go in and sell. It's not a time to go in and move to a more conservative position. You know, you can't close the barn door after the horse has already left, right? Mm-hmm. So we've already experienced probably the bulk of the volatility we're going to see. We don't know if we've seen the bottom yet. You know, we don't know if there's more to go. But my guess is we're not far from it. Either we've seen it or not far from it. Regardless, like we saw in 2008 and 2009, we'll likely see a very strong recovery in the market, you know, on the other side of this. And so those that get out now will likely miss, you know, a substantial part of that recovery.
Yeah.
And so now's not a time to panic and to make those types of moves. Unfortunately, a lot of people are doing it and will do it. And unfortunately, it will permanently impair their ability to recover. But it's the worst mistake that most investors make, is they panic at a time like this. The reality is we're getting ready to buy. We had cash sitting on the sidelines. We've started to nibble over the last week or so. And, you know, I think here over the next week or two, we'll likely be going in more aggressively and buying. So I would encourage people to get cash ready. If you have cash, get it in your accounts. Be prepared, you know, even pull the trigger on some of those things. There really are some great opportunities out there. We will get through this. The economy will recover. The markets will recover. And, you know, probably, you know, 2 years down the road, we'll barely notice that this even happened.
Yeah.
And so in 2008, 2009, it took just a few years, you know, and in some cases, depending on how you're invested, anywhere from 2 to 4 years to fully recover from that. If you had cash on the sidelines and invested it, you know, anywhere in the bottom half of that market, you recovered even faster. And so I would have to say we're in the bottom half of the decline right now. Now's a good time to start putting some of those dollars to work.
Yeah, so it was Dave Ramsey was on the other day, and he said, look, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon.
Right.
This is not the time to get out. Just leave it alone.
Yep.
Let it grow. It's going to come back. And
yep.
Eventually, you know. Because now we have an undervalued market, right?
Yep.
I mean, sometimes you get
right.
an overvalued market and it's got to correct. Then sometimes yep. you get an undervalued market and there's lots of room to grow in that.
Exactly.
I know you kind of touched on this, but we always ask you to share something biblical from our finances to give us a biblical perspective on things. So what do you have for us this month?
Yeah, well, I thought it would be appropriate. It doesn't deal specifically with money, but the principles apply. In Joshua chapter 1, God says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So I think that's a great thing to apply, whether it comes to our finances or whether it comes to our family health situation, whether it comes to, you know, hey, do we even have enough food and provisions in our house? You know, be strong and courageous. The concept of not fearing, it's not a suggestion. It's a command, you know, and God, you know, makes that clear here. Look, he's not suggesting we don't fear. He's saying don't fear. Be strong and courageous. Trust in God. God works through people. God works in a lot of different ways. But trust that God will provide. If you have needs, make it known and let God show his provision and his power as we work through this.
That's a good word. Yeah. Good reminder for us. Darren Munn joining us, Munn Wealth Management. If folks want to find out about Munn Wealth Management, where do they go?
Our website is munnwealth.com.
And of course, Munn Wealth Management, sponsor of the Prayer Closet.
Yeah. And I would encourage you, you know, be praying for your advisor and, you know, all advisors, because for those of us that are in this industry, it's an extremely stressful time.
Yes.
We care deeply about all of our clients. And so, you know, a time when, you know, everybody's worried, everybody's panicked. And so pray for God's wisdom on not just your advisor, but, you know, the leaders of our governments, you know, especially our governor and president and those surrounding them. Tommy and I were talking off air beforehand how this can be such a no-win situation for people that have leadership roles in this kind of a situation. And, you know, have elements of grace for those leaders, because we know that they're making really tough decisions that impact a lot of lives, and nobody's going to do it perfectly. And we'll never know, you know, even in hindsight, we won't know who did it better or who did it worse in most cases. The reality is we're dealing with variables that few could predict even just a few weeks ago. So, you know, be praying for them, and, you know, surely show God's grace, because God is a God of grace. And, you know, there are people that are working really hard to lead us through this, and, you know, they really need our prayers.
Absolutely. Yeah, they do. Hey, Darren, thanks so much. We always appreciate you coming in and sharing with us this morning.
My pleasure to be here.